This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Shall we begin?
Expecto Patronum!
He brought back!
FM 89.9, it is 7:37. This is Popcorn Culture with Lynn, Sharmila and Arvin. In case you were wondering who the people are who have the audacity to use that opening theme for themselves. Well, it's us. There is a very specific reason we're doing that, though. I think anyone who has watched anything Marvel related will be familiar with that particular theme. It opens, it sets you up for everything else. And today we are going to be talking about the premise of whether we enjoy having shared universes like we're seeing with the 10,000 Marvel pieces of content that are floating in the ether, or whether we still enjoy our little standalone stories.
I want to forewarn everyone that I'm going to be wildly swinging between both extremes throughout the show, because I've thought about it and I can't decide. I have some definite hard lines that I will express, but it is a tough one, right? Because I can't say I don't get excited for the next Star Wars or Marvel film, but I also confess that I'm feeling a little bit fatigued, and I think those are actually the two sides of that argument. Besides also the fact that sometimes it is actually just nice to get new, fresh content that's not linked to something else.
I honestly thought you were going to follow up the wildly swinging with the Spider-Man reference, because it was the Marvel
this is
opening.
What it's done to us, you see?
So I've gone on record saying that I love sequels, spin-offs, prequels. So I think it's kind of obvious where I fall on the fence in this conversation. Like, I love the shared universe thing. I love the concept of crossovers. I love knowing that this character from this movie can end up in another movie, who can end up in the third movie, and then all just join in like one mega event film. So I don't think I'll ever tire of the shared universe, but I will say that because of the bar that the MCU has set, and it's a very high bar, we are seeing a lot of lackluster shared universes from other studios trying to replicate Marvel. So that's the thing that I'm conflicted about. Like, do we have too many of these copycat universes around?
So I, again, am on the record as saying that I am fatigued, my friends. I was into it for the first 10 movies. Now I think I'm just starting to get a little bit tired. And mainly, so I wanted to start with Marvel firstly because, I mean, we haven't done it and why not? But also because they really are the ones, aren't they? They're the ones that all the other studios are looking towards and saying, look, this is how we can do it right. And I think that they are a rare thing in that they make money, but it's also fan service. Like, I think it's very rare that Marvel or MCU fans leave feeling shortchanged. And this extends to like the TV shows, and are they even TV, to the shows and all the rest of it, right? So I am fatigued, but the main thing I wanted to say is that I do not think that everyone is Kevin Feige. And that is the biggest thing. Firstly, not even the sheer scope of content, because lots of other studios, Warner Brothers, keep trying to convince us that they have it. So it's not about the scope of content. I think it's about the understanding of timing and patience and the ability to wait out those arcs and to plant the correct amount of Easter eggs, right? Because too many, and it's like, what is this? Too few, and you're like, well, this isn't really a shared universe. So up and until we clone a Feige and, you know, dump him in some other studio or her, I just don't know whether it's going to work for other people.
You know what I miss, though, right? I actually miss the early days of the MCU, where you didn't need to have the stored knowledge of 60 different things in the back of your mind to understand a particular thing you're watching now. I'm not saying I don't like the shared universe. In fact, it was so exciting when you watch Captain America and then someone else pops up secretly, you didn't know, or waiting to see who the next superhero that's going to be introduced is in the end credits. Like, all of those things are great. But I think where this starts kind of collapsing upon its own weight is when, alongside being a shared universe, it also kind of becomes a locked universe. You cannot access it in an easy way anymore. How do you tell someone to be introduced to MCU? Where do they start? Do they start with the new films? Then will they not make sense? Do they start with the TV shows? And while some TV shows, Loki, I would argue, actually oddly stands alone really well. You only need to know the bare minimum, and the show does a good job of catching you up. But then other shows like Falcon and Winter Soldier, it doesn't make sense if you don't know a lot of what has happened before. And I find it disappointing, and I think a little sad that I cannot share this with people without telling them that they first have to watch X number of things. And I think that's a pity when it comes to a world that is genuinely great.
So I think that's why, like, the main question is, and I love the Kevin Feige mention, because, like, the main question should be, like, what justifies a shared universe, right? Like, why would a studio even embark on a shared universe concept if they don't have, like, an endpoint or an angle? Because with Marvel Studios, it was, like, very clear. They were working up towards the Avengers. So they had all these solo films that would build towards, like, a mega event, which was the Avengers films, then the Avengers sequel. So they had, like, an idea. For all these other studios, whether it's John Wick or whether it's the Universal MonsterVerse that failed, what justifies bringing them all together in these crossover movies? Like, they previously hinted that the Transformers were in the same universe as G.I. Joe. And then there was also this thing, this rumor that the Fast franchise was going to crossover with Jurassic World, which is insane and something I would definitely watch.
I was going to say, you sound like you think it's a bad thing, but you would watch that.
It's a horrible idea. I am definitely watching it opening night. But other than, like, the wow factor and the shock value, what are those things for? And they're going to fail eventually, right? Because there's no foundation. Nothing justifies any of those crossover events.
And then the sad thing is that you actually underplay great characters, because I think that the problem, I'm not referring to Fast Five or Fast in general, none of the Fasts, but I think that broadly, the thing that characterizes studios going, you know what we should do? People are going to want to watch this person for 10 movies. And that usually is based on one great character or a character that has the weight of a lot of history behind that thing. And they think, like, okay, they're going to bring a lot of fans into it, and this is how it's going to work. But like you said, right, a shared world, we keep using that word world or universe, it relies on things outside of the people. It relies on certain specific leaps of logic. It relies on a specific look and feel of the thing, right? And so all of that matters. And if you don't have that, it doesn't work.
And, you know, some stories are just great standalone stories. They don't need to be expanded, right? We don't need offshoots. We don't need, hey, you know what? This character also does this. Or, you know what? This character also exists somewhere else. And I think, in a way, what that does sometimes is go back and dilute the original product in a particular way. Or you get too much of a character in a way that you didn't necessarily want. And then you're left with these sort of weird, conflicted feelings about loving the original thing and then now not necessarily loving it. I might be talking about the Harry Potter series and the Fantastic Beasts spin-off, but, you know, more in general, I think some things actually work much better when they exist in their little corner instead of having this entire tentacular universe.
Since you mentioned the tentacular universe, since Disney owns most of Hollywood, like maybe 75% of Hollywood, right? What would your reaction be if, let's say, in Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, he opens a portal and all of a sudden Darth Vader shows up? We'd just, like, get silly with it. Or what's his name in Big Hero 6? Baymax shows up. Or Luke Evans shows up as Gaston. Because it sounds ridiculous, but they all fall under the same company. So what is actually stopping them from having those Easter eggs in a movie like Multiverse of Madness?
Two things to say to you. Firstly, I thought you were going to say Mickey, and I was ready. I was ready to accept Mickey just bursting out. The other thing is, what's stopping them is Space Jam, right? Is the knowledge that something like Space Jam exists, in which they tried to do this. They tried to act as if a studio is averse, and they treat the audience like we're going to buy into that. And I think the knowledge that Space Jam exists is enough of a deterrent. And if for no other reason than this, maybe it's a good reason that that movie exists.
I was going to say, though, I mean, after Spider-Verse, I kind of feel like everything you just said could work in a kind of bizarre format where they're just poking fun at themselves. I think, though, that unlike Warner Brothers, Disney has actually been very smart with how it treats its individual properties. And whether I like the direction they're taking with them or not, I do think that they are cognizant enough that they don't want to end up being a joke. And they also bank on our nostalgia so much that they're very aware that weaponizing it too much can actually cause us to turn away and turn against them. And so far, I think they've been very smart with how they play that card.
They're so smart. But also, I'm thinking, like, maybe they are smart now. And I ask the question because I think in about 15 years, they're going to want to do something big, or they're going to have to expand in a way that they have not expanded before. And then we're going to see really weird, crazy things happen, as if they're not happening already now. But if they want to continue on this shared universe thing, at some point, it's either going to implode or they'll have to get like extremely creative and silly with it.
So a bit of a philosophical supercut today, but we are talking about whether or not you prefer shared universes, right? Think MCU, Star Wars, the stuff that you have a movie, then you have a show, and then you have all these things built off of it. Or do you prefer standalone things, right? Things that just live on their own, like our next clip, Back to the Future. We'd like to hear from you. Send us your thoughts. You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio.
Doc, I'm from the future. I came here in a time machine that you invented. Now I need your help to get back to the year 1985.
But I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity.
1.21 gigawatts! Great Scott! But all we need is a little plutonium.
Oh, I'm sure that in 1985, plutonium is available in every corner drugstore, but in 1955, it's a little hard to come by.
Marty, I'm sorry, but the only power source capable of generating 1.21 gigawatts of electricity is a bolt of lightning. Unfortunately, you never know when or where it's ever going to strike.
We do now.
If we could somehow harness this lightning, channel it into the flux capacitor. Next Saturday night, we're sending you back to the future.
Brainy, fancy material. BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, it is 7:50. You're listening to Popcorn Culture with Lynn, Sharmila and Arvin. And I have to say, if you ever need a pick-me-up, if you go to the Mission Impossible YouTube videos, right, the theme, and then you look through the comments, it's always people going like, when I buy groceries and dinner is due, when I'm finishing homework. And I bring that up because while that was playing, I was Googling how many Mission Impossible movies are there and feeling very much against the clock. Anyway, it turns out that there are going to be 8. And we played that because today we're talking about universes, this idea of shared universes, MCU, Star Wars, etc., versus standalones, things that might not just have one movie but sequels, but the point is they're all somewhat linear and they all live in that same world, and you know, you don't have Ethan Hunt like popping up in Bond or something. We want to hear from you. Which do you prefer? Do you prefer shared universes or do you prefer standalones? Let us know. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. So I think the thing about Mission Impossible, right? It cannot be universified. That one time they tried to make the premise serious, everybody was like, yeah, you're pulling off rubber faces.
I don't know. I mean, after what you told me about Fast and Jurassic Park, I have this mild fear that they might cross over with Oceans or something, which actually, as I'm saying it, sounds amazing.
He's too serious. It can't be done. He's too serious.
Tom Cruise, yalla. Ethan Hunt, yeah, a little too serious. But look, I think Mission Impossible or even Back to the Future, which we played earlier, is a great example of how there's actually a lot of room within the same story to expand. Not always successfully, I must admit, but the Mission Impossible movies have been good enough and consistently good enough in many ways that I do think they make a very strong case for not universifying everything. I think there's a real pleasure in being able to revisit characters in a particular format and having this expectation that they do kind of do their own thing. I do worry that with this sort of push towards everything being something that can then be a video game, then can be a TV show, and then we can have a comic, and then we can have an online series. Again, it goes back to that idea of diluting the original. Like, I like the blockbuster movie. I don't necessarily want 10 different versions of this.
So Mission Impossible, like I was thinking about how interesting it is as a movie franchise, like because you said there's going to be like 8 movies, which is a lot. Like I think that almost rivals the Fast saga. But at what point does something become like a shared universe? So let's say they have a spin-off show on Amazon Prime with like another agent who's not Ethan Hunt, who's not Tom Cruise, or if they had another adjacent story going on with Jeremy Renner, let's say. Then does
that
it become...
one exists in a different in a parallel universe.
Yeah, yeah. So if they did something like that, then does it automatically make it a shared universe, or is that just like a spin-off or a prequel? So at what point does it sort of explode?
So I think as long as it requires us to function in a world in which this particular agency is real, it is a shared universe. That would be my premise, right? Because otherwise, yeah, like CIA, FBI, sure. But when you ask us to believe that this agency that I've clearly forgotten, that's why I'm calling them this agency, that this agency operates in the same realm of possibility, right, as these things that we know to be real, then I would consider that a shared universe.
Yeah, and I think that if we're following the same character, and essentially it's about the same person doing... So if we take Back to the Future as an example, if we continue to see Marty but in different points in time, that's still Back to the Future. It's not a shared universe. But if we start seeing this person who also existed while Marty was in the future, lives in the same world and has discovered time travel, to me that then becomes a shared universe. So I think a core... Like adhering to the main storyline makes it a standalone, where else like pivoting and using it as a backdrop for other stories turns it into a shared universe.
Which means that Star Wars is not a shared universe, which is weird to say because it sounds like it's a growing universe of characters and stories and movies. But every single live-action Star Wars has somehow tied back to the Skywalkers.
Ah, live-action, so yes, but the TV shows, the TV shows end up being part of a universe, I think.
But even the TV shows, even the Clone Wars and Rebels and the Bad Batch, all fall within the Skywalker saga, right? In some way. So they tie back to either the prequels, the sequels, or the main trilogy. So in that sense, if they all tie back to one Skywalker backbone, doesn't that mean that Star Wars is a standalone saga and not a shared universe?
Not to me, because those stories don't inform the Skywalker saga. The Skywalker saga is done, right? It doesn't really matter what these other people do. They're just living in the world in which, you know, above them, like these grand things are being fought. But as long as I think it doesn't actually feed into the main story that has already been told or is not living on a line. The movies all do, for sure. But I think that, and in fact, because we are a pop culture show, I would go so far as to say, not just the animations, not just the TV shows, but also the various books and stories that are offshoots of the main Star Wars world, all live in a shared universe, is what I would argue.
Yeah, same. And I think the other thing, of course, is that they have their own stories. They may intersect with the main Skywalker saga, but, you know, Mandalorian has its own story. Boba Fett has its own story. I do have thoughts on that, though, and how much the new stories are burdened by the main story, as it were, which we can get to later. But yeah, I think for me, Star Wars is absolutely a shared universe because it isn't just about a singular person's journey through time and space.
I also love how because of like Disney and the MCU and Star Wars, we're kind of giving all the credit to these shows and movies as if they created the shared universe, but it's been going on for a long time. No?
Ooh, can I say that I was so excited to find out that the first concept of a shared universe was back in 1943, Frankenstein meets Wolfman. I was very happy to learn that.
Oh, so it's, so the, universal. It's the successful Monsterverse.
It is. When, back when they could work.
Because I was thinking about, since we were talking about Mission Impossible, how CSI was a shared universe. Like all those shows fell within the same umbrella and they existed in the same world. I think there were four different shows, right? And they all ran concurrently. And sometimes the characters would like cross over from one show to another show. So that was way before anything that Marvel did. And even going back to, I think, some shows in the 80s, there were hints at like other things existing within that same universe, even though they were not by the same franchise or by the same filmmakers or directors.
Are we forgetting Phoebe Buffay existing in both Mad About You and Friends? TV used to do this kind of stuff all the time.
Oh yeah. Hmm.
This is true. Did it work though? No. You know what? It's a sidebar. It is a sidebar. We can get back to it. But just to return to the idea of the Monsterverse, this is the one that I meant when I said a Kevin Feige might be able to do something with it. Universal, I don't think, managed to. So we're going to be playing a little bit of the probably never going to happen Monsterverse. But we'd like to hear from you. We're talking today about shared cinematic universes versus standalone films. So we're talking about things like MCU, Star Wars, where everything is just part of like this large sprawling world versus standalone things with sequels, prequels, what have you, but just following their own little timeline. Let us know which you prefer. You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Who are you?
I'm a doctor. Doctor. Chemical pathology, neurosurgery. Fellow of the Royal Society. Also a lawyer.
My name is Jekyll. Dr. Henry Jekyll. These days, I specialize in immunology, perhaps. Infectious disease, perhaps.
Welcome to Prodigium, Mr. Morton. From the Latin, monstrum vel prodigium. A warning of monsters.
It's not an exact science, this business.
And the business being?
Evil. Mr. Morton, recognize, contain, examine, destroy.
Be free-minded. BFM 89.9.
Lucy Liu, with my girl Drew, Cameron D and Destiny, Charlie's Angels, come on. Question, tell me what you think about me. I buy my own diamonds and I buy my own rings. Only ring your celly when I'm feeling lonely. When it's all over, please get up and leave. Question, tell me how you feel about this. Try to control me, boy, you get dismissed. Pay my own condo and I pay my own bills. Always 50-50 in relationships.
The shoes on my feet, I buy. The clothes I'm wearing, I buy. The rock I'm rocking, I buy.
Yeah. Charlie, how your angels get down like that? Girl, I didn't know you could get down like that. Charlie, how your angels get down like that?
BFM 89.9. It is 8:09, and you are listening to Popcorn Culture with Lynn, Sharmila, and Arvin. In case you are wondering, it is BFM, yes, and it is Popcorn Culture. But we are today talking about shared universes on screen. In other words, the kind of sprawling, big multiverses that we are seeing and that we're anticipating with Doctor Strange, actually, versus standalones, things that might have sequels, yes, but all kind of follow a similar path. And that is why we ended up playing Charlie's Angels.
So I might have sounded like I'm conflicted about shared universes, and I am, right? And I'm also, I think, generally not the biggest proponent of multiple sequels of things, but I actually do enjoy seeing reboots and remakes of these kinds of old properties. Like Charlie's Angels, I love the 90s, the early 2000s, I want to say, remake, the one with Drew Barrymore, Lucy Liu, and Cameron Diaz, for the simple reason that sometimes a really great idea can actually work in so many different ways, and it can be reinterpreted in so many ways. Similarly, I'm actually quite excited about the whole idea of rebooting Splash, the 1980s film, with like the gender swap, things like that, I'm really down for. And I think that sometimes the immediate tendency to want to go towards creating a shared universe perhaps prevents people from thinking about these kinds of fun ideas.
So the old, not the old, but the mid-2000s Charlie's Angels was duology, right? There wasn't a third part. Or was it a trilogy?
No, there were two. The first one I liked very much, and second, not so much.
Not so much. And then there's a new one that recently came out like a couple of years ago or last year or something like that. That was like the reboot. I'm thinking, because the reboot didn't do well, I don't, like in the box office or critically or whatever it was, if you were like a greedy corporate studio trying to weaponize nostalgia at like any given chance, would you use a shared universe to elevate a failed property like the new Charlie's Angels, like introduce them to some other series that is more successful, or bring those characters into something that made more money, just to elevate the whole franchise? Because I'm asking, there were rumors that Pacific Rim was going to show up in the Godzilla King
Can
Kong.
You stop? What is this?
So that was going to be like a triple threat. In the same way, you know, would that work for like a Charlie's Angels?
Well, I think a couple of things. Firstly, Sharmila, I cannot believe you said those three women's names normally, as opposed to Lucy Liu.
I resisted the temptation. The song was already too much.
But the other part of it is, so how much of this depends on a formula? Because I think that the reason why it might be difficult to do that with Charlie's Angels is because, and pardon me, I'm going to be, you know, objectifying the whole situation, but I think Hot Lady Agents is kind of the main pull of Charlie's Angels. I mean, whatever each generation considers that to be. But the point is that that is the premise. It's best friends driving cars, doing lady agent things and being very attractive. That's Charlie's Angels. And so because of that, like if you do a shared universe, what would that comprise of, right? Like how would you expand that? And actually, while we were doing Mission Impossible earlier, that's actually true as well. Like that's the reason why these are kind of high concept things that live on a very specific formula, that also live on a very specific sort of physicality. And I think for that reason, it's a little bit difficult to expand. And now you can drag me for misunderstanding the deep point of Charlie's Angels or whatever.
Oh, no. I mean, I see what you're saying, but I'm also thinking of the teenage me who got super excited when I realized that there was a Nancy Drew Hardy Boys crossover and that there were mysteries that they all solved together. And I'm thinking that that part of me would actually be quite excited if there was, let's say, I'm just spitballing here, a MacGyver and a Charlie's Angels crossover. Like, I would be so down for that. I mean, can you imagine how cool that would be? But also lame. I don't know. Like, I'm so conflicted. But I think there is that if people weren't taking it seriously and the whole exercise was meant to just be fun and silly, I think I could go for it. There's also a definite like Deadpool vibe about the whole thing that I could be down for. But I think it actually requires a lot of intelligence and love for the property to pull that off.
Did the Famous Five and the Secret Seven also have a crossover? Like they met, right, at some point in one of those books?
So I don't think there's a Blightonverse.
There should have been a Blightonverse.
There Goosebumps could be a Blightonverse.
Right? There should be. I mean, like, Fear Street and Goosebumps exist in the same universe, right?
That's very true. Basically, the R.L. Stine situation. Actually, we haven't talked about horror, but Castle Rock and basically a lot of the Stephen King stuff actually sits within a universe as well. The Blightonverse. I mean, imagine a world in which, like, boarding school girls go off to solve crime in a circus on a faraway tree.
Yes.
Like, wow.
Yeah, that would be everything. Like, that sounds like the mad creation of a film that is breaking down people's nostalgia for Enid Blyton. Like, it could either be a horror film or, like, really awesome.
What would you call them, though? Like, if you, would you just add 5 and 7? Like... like the magnificent
famous secret 13.
Yeah, 13. Yeah. Anyway, so I know that
12. Going... Is my math terrible? 12. Yeah.
Yeah, I doubted myself because my math is bad. I thought it was 13. But I know in the beginning I said that I love the shared universe stuff. I love the connective tissue and all those things. But there are exceptions. And I'm thinking about, we're going to watch The Batman next week and then we're going to review it the week after. I am hoping to God that that movie stays as a standalone. I know it exists in the DC larger universe, but I'm really, really hoping that there's no hint at a Joaquin Phoenix Joker, or there's no mention of like Metropolis or Atlantis or Justice League. I want a standalone Batman trilogy where Batman gets to do Batman things with Batman villains. And I think that introducing a shared universe to something like that, just like Mission Impossible, or just like Bourne in some ways, just like Charlie's Angels, would only dilute and ruin the entire thing instead of making it better in the future.
I have so many thoughts about that, but I also think it's time we get to the messages. The thoughts are mostly to do with how some things are more easily universified, and that lives in like comic books, games, that territory. But okay, to the messages. So we have this from Meandering Misha, who says connected universes are fun because it's like playing with all of your favorite action figures at the same time.
That's exactly it. I don't think it's any coincidence that so much of the shared universe stuff comes from comics or things that already have multiple memorabilia and action figures associated with them, because it really does build on the feeling that many fans already have in terms of how they interact with these characters.
Without spoiling anything, I'm just going to say Spider-Man No Way Home, and that's it.
Yeah, I think we could leave it there, yes. We also have Christopher, who simply says, I enjoy both worlds. Again, the question is whether you enjoy shared cinematic universes, Marvel, the imaginary Blightonverse, Star Wars, versus standalone things. Keep those thoughts coming, by the way. We also have Ken Hung, who says, Whisper of the Heart, with every single Easter egg of previous Studio Ghibli movies, and then the Miyazaki spin-off, The Cat Returns.
So that's interesting, right? Because there is a distinction to be drawn, I feel, between Easter eggs and a shared universe. And Miyazaki, of course, has sequels to some of his films, but I don't know that all of his films exist in the same world or in the same universe. Yeah, and there are other examples of that as well, right? Pixar, I think, there are fan theories about every film existing in the same universe, but mostly they're more Easter eggs that kind of slyly reference each other.
We say that, but then with each new movie that comes out, they seem more and more determined to make us think like they exist in the same space. Like, toys do come to life in the same world where rats are cooking food for people, where there's an old guy in a house just flying to like a mountain or like a cliff somewhere. Like, all of these things exist in the same Pixarverse.
That's also a horror movie you've described. Like, that really is a horror movie. If you've seen none of them, you wouldn't watch that universe. It's like, what creepy stuff is happening? We also have Ken Ling, who's actually supporting you, Arvin, saying, remember that Pixar is also a shared universe. So there we go. Mm-hmm. I love many shared universe movies and series, but I would also love the fact that it's rare that standalone universes of musicals ever extend beyond the OG movie. For example, Sound of Music, West Side Story, King and I.
I mean, isn't that just Arvin's dream? A shared universe of musicals where all characters just break into song and dance over 40 different films and TV shows.
Sure, just keep like interrupting themselves, like one song over another song over the third song. You know, sounds like a dream.
In a way, musicals are their own shared universe, right? Because the basic logic, the conceit is that people burst into song. And so if you work on that premise, in a sense, all musicals do share a universe.
I was going to say Phantom of the Opera, but that's not actually a shared universe. It's just a straight up sequel.
Mm. But if you think about it, like, around the world of the shared musical universe, you could, in theory, have a rapping founding father of the United States and, you know, lovelorn teenagers in New York. Like, you could have all these things as long as we work on the premise that they sing their feelings and Arvin has, you know, just gotten the heck out of Dodge by that point.
Completely zoned out. So you're saying that in that world, the logic of that world allows people to just break into song. So every...
And dance. Mm. And everyone's just like cool.
I like this. I wish there were theme parks that just like were built around this idea.
Okay, no.
I'm the one who started the show saying, I'm not sure if I like this idea.
I was with you, and then you had people like spinning around me in petticoats and stuff, and I've lost it. It's over. We're talking today about shared cinematic universes. You know, the kinds of things that we've been talking about, right? Where one world gets stretched to whatever logical breaking point exists versus standalones, things that are stories that sit on their own, no matter how many sequels they have. We'd like to hear from you. Which one do you prefer? You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And now, something that actually started off as a standalone and has been spun off into a universe. Here's a bit of John Wick.
Vigo.
Yeah.
When Ellen died, I lost everything until that dog arrived on my doorstep. A final gift for my wife. In that moment, I received some semblance of hope. An opportunity to grieve unalone. And your son took that from me. Stole that from me. Killed that from me! People keep asking if I'm back. And I haven't really had an answer. But now, yeah... I'm thinking I'm back.
Break from mediocrity. BFM 89.9.
But you know the funniest thing about Europe is?
What?
It's a little differences. I mean, they got the same shit over there that they got here, but it's just there. It's a little different.
Example.
All right, well, you can walk into a movie theater in Amsterdam and buy a beer. And I don't mean just like a little paper cup. I'm talking about a glass of beer. And in Paris, you can buy a beer in McDonald's. And you know what they call a quarter pounder with cheese in Paris?
They don't call it a quarter pounder with cheese?
Oh, man, they got the metric system. They wouldn't know what the fuck a quarter pounder is.
And what do they call it?
They call it Royale with cheese.
Royale with cheese.
That's right.
What do they call a Big Mac?
Big Mac's a Big Mac, but they call it Le Big Mac.
Le Big Mac. What do they call a Whopper?
I don't know. I didn't go on a Burger King.
BFM 89.9, it's 8:23. You're listening to Popcorn Culture with Lynn Sharmila and Arvin. And today we're talking about a rather philosophical question, really. This idea of shared cinematic universes, the premise that you have a cinematic world that is just populated and populated with different things, filled to the brim, like we're seeing with MCU, like we're seeing with Star Wars, versus standalone things. And now we are in the fan theory section of the night. So we mentioned Pixar earlier. Guys, tell us all about Tarantino.
Well, is Tarantino a fan theory, though? Because, I mean...
I feel like it's a loose idea. I don't know if it's a fan theory.
I think it's Tarantino just being precocious, honestly. But you know, I don't mind it. I kind of like the Vega brothers and the Red Apple cigarettes and all the nudge, nudge, wink, wink, the multiple reincarnations of Samuel L. Jackson. and I think that actually that kind of stuff and the kind of stuff that Pixar does is... the kind of fan service that fans like and works, because it acknowledges that if you're a fan and you're a follower of this director, the studio, you'll recognize these nods. But if you don't, it's okay. You don't actually lose anything by not recognizing them.
See, I don't know, you know, especially with someone like a Quentin Tarantino, who is so specific about the way he writes and the way he puts down characters to story and you know, all the angles and stuff. I don't know if he's someone who would do the Easter egg thing or if he's someone who deliberately, like you know, creates a world where all of them live together in the same space. Even though some of them are played by the same people again and again, like Samuel L. Jackson. I don't know. Like, I honestly, if this was like someone who's a casual filmmaker, quote unquote, then I wouldn't put it past them. But Quentin Tarantino is someone who seems like he does everything for a purpose and a reason and not just fan service, if that makes sense.
There's something about the subtlety of the world that keeps me from calling it a universe, I suppose. Mm. Perhaps it looks too much like our own, even if, you know, we're in an alternate space, right? Like where there are things that exist that didn't used to exist. I'm making it sound very weird, but actually it's just brands and stuff. You know, it's not exactly like we're living in a world where we all have three arms. So yeah, I think it's interesting. I do think, how do we feel about the subtlety of it, right? Like when it's this subtle?
Well, that's actually what I like, I think. I absolutely think Tarantino planned it. If not in the start, not a Kevin Feige, like, oh, I'm making Reservoir Dogs with the plan of having another brother pop up, you know, 10 years later.
Kevin Feige is Kevin Feige.
Yeah, but I think that he's having fun with it. He knows what he's doing. But I don't think it serves a larger narrative purpose. I think it's just fun, like a wink to the audience. And I like that subtlety. Mm.
No, I love that subtlety. I love that subtlety, and I love it when it also happens in Ridley Scott's universe, because it's equally subtle, but you know that he has a background idea. Like there's the Weyland-Yutani thing that happens in Blade Runner and also in Alien, and then there's Prometheus. So you know that all of them exist in the same universe, like the Xenomorphs exist with the replicants. But then at the same time, he's not moving towards anything specific, right? It's just a world that he's building. I really enjoy those things, and I really enjoy that you have to watch the movies again and again to spot these different Easter eggs and different ideas that he's put in.
I really love the idea of world building taking such a long time, actually, now that you've both said it. There is something quite lovely about that. And also not so commercial, right? Because so far, everything that we've been saying indicates broadly that either it's for fun, and when it's for fun, it's great. But sometimes it's also purely for money. It's just because I own the IP, and you know what? I can force you guys to just mash up, and I'm going to force the issue. And knowing that people will go and watch it. And that feels cynical and not so fun for a moviegoer. But something like this, where it's just filmmakers going, you know what? It's the same world. I'm not going to make any money out of this. You know, it's not as if I'm building up to some larger revelation here. It just is what it is. There's something quite sweet about that. You're right. We've been asking you how you feel about shared cinematic universes versus standalones, and we have loads of messages. So, all right, I'm actually surprised we didn't come up with this ourselves. We have a pair of messages, one from Shane, one from Brian, all referencing M. Night Shyamalan. So Shane says, Unbreakable, a great standalone, Split, a great shared universe, Glass, somewhat. Brian says, M. Night's Unbreakable, Split and Glass, would it count as a shared universe? Because if yes, it was an unexpected but pretty good shared universe. And I think it was.
No, I think it was. Unbreakable is actually one of my favorite M. Night Shyamalan films. And so eventually realizing that there's now going to be a larger extension of that story was very cool for me. I will admit that for some reason, I ended up then not watching Glass. So I have to watch it to know whether I really love how it all materialized. I think that definitely counts.
Do you have to watch it, though? That's the question.
See, that's
do
the thing. It got bad Glass, reviews. Though? And I thought, I don't want my memories of Unbreakable to be tarnished.
Yeah.
So before we go on, right, I think the mention of M. Night Shyamalan is a good opportunity to talk about what I mentioned earlier, comic books and games, and how some properties just really lend themselves to that. Because, I mean, it's his version, right, of creating that comic book hero, anti-hero kind of origin story. And you can see the influence of it in that. And I think it's no surprise, therefore, that a number of the things we're talking about, Batman, for example, the reason why we're worried, we don't know. There's no way to know for sure that they're not going to suddenly like stick something else in there. It's because the tropes, right? This is what we know to be true, that when we're talking about a comic book film or a game-based film, they can kind of do anything because that is how those worlds function.
So this is actually how I feel even about the new Star Wars properties that have been coming out. Like, I love Mandalorian. I loved the first season so much. And my fear with something like Star Wars is exactly that instead of doing fresh new stories that can stand alone and do really cool things, that it's going to continuously feel the need to reference and self-reference and go back to that core story. And in Boba Fett, I don't want to spoil it because it's so new. Boba Fett, I think, is a natural result of that fear of not quite knowing, do I want to create something that's kind of cool and stands alone, or do I want it to still go back to something that people recognize? And I think that's a real problem. And that's where I reach my limit of when the When the thing you're trying to create prevents you from ever creating anything new, that's when I start getting annoyed at the whole thing.
In that same vein, right, do you think that bringing a shared universe idea to something, sort of, even if they stick the landing, even if it's done like perfectly, does it also create a sense of the journey was better than the destination sort of thing? Because like with the upcoming Obi-Wan show, so a lot of people have said that Darth Vader and Obi-Wan met at some point before A New Hope. And we're probably going to see that in the upcoming show, you know, and live action, Hayden Christensen, all of it put on screen. Would it sort of be like, now what? Because we've thought about it for so long. It goes back to the message about playing with your action figures. And then when it finally happens, even if it's perfect, it's now what? Because it's happened. And the imagining was better than whatever they could put on screen. Does that make sense? I don't know if I'm making sense.
Boba Fett, is an exact example of everyone wanted a Boba Fett movie or a TV show so much. And now what? You know? I don't think it lived up to that hype.
So, I think a part of it is the difference between fan fiction, however good, and canon. And I think when something enters the canon, you know that it is going to fossilize and crystallize, and this is now it. This is all you have. And perhaps what it is also is the closing off of certain avenues to play, because now we know. This is how it happened. This is canon. We're just going to have to accept that this is what it was, and we'll no longer be able to imagine and play around with that.
Yeah.
That's exactly it. Yeah.
I think
that's
so.
I was also thinking about Multiverse of Madness when I asked that, because like if people haven't seen the trailer, then we're probably going to see the biggest crossover in the MCU, probably the biggest one. But so the kid in me is like super happy, like cannot wait, so excited. But I'm also thinking like, and now what? Like, I've thought about this for so long that when it finally happens, what's going to be bigger than that? Like, how do they escalate? So that's why I asked. Even Star Wars, same thing.
Speaking of Star, Abby is bringing up the other one, saying, are you guys going to talk about Star Trek? I knew about the Mirror Universe and other multiverses from Star Trek before the MCU, which is a great point. Thank you for bringing it up. Because Star Trek is totally, it totally hits the mark of the idea of a shared universe. And we don't talk about it enough. I will admit it's also because I get really intimidated by Star Trek in the same way that I do with Doctor Who. It's just too much. I don't know where to start. So I've engaged with it. I get it. But in terms of being a completist or knowing what to do, where to go, it's just I'm stuck.
Also, I think the mention of Star Trek reminds us that I don't have this on authority, but I feel like television was actually doing shared universes and crossovers and all of these things before it became a thing in movies, because television had the space to do it. They had weekly episodes. Studios had these entire stable of programs that they could just merge and take away however they want. Even Ally McBeal used to do crossover episodes with that other law show with Dylan McDermott. I can't remember. It was like a serious one and they were the quirky one, but they'd crossover. And I think TV used to offer that kind of opportunity, and it took some time and before movies became common enough and sort of enough material existed for them to be able to create that.
I'm sure Doctor Who did the same thing. Like, I've never seen, but just, I don't know, based off what people have said, I'm sure Doctor Who did the same thing, right, with the multiverse stuff. Also, I'm surprised that, I literally just thought about him. Christopher Nolan is one of the best at making standalone stuff. Like, he has no need for shared universes. He has no need for multiverses. He just makes very, very good standalone blockbusters that don't have to be contained in any kind of connective tissue.
Can I just say, it's so interesting that you bring up Christopher Nolan, because Oppenheimer, right, is coming out, and the all the promotional stuff just dropped, and I realized, I'm curious about this, so I Googled it. And when I did, you know how there are the people also asks that show up on your searches? And one of the things that people also asked was, how is Oppenheimer connected to Tenet? And I think that's such a good example of how we are all so accustomed now to when there's a big thing, it's going to be a shared universe. And the expectation, despite the fact that it's a biopic, is going to be that, it's somehow going to be connected to Tenet. So, it's something about the modern viewer as well. We have this from Wansiang, who says, even in anime, Fire Force recently announced that it's a prequel story to Soul Eater. The former is about firefighters, while the latter is about the job of the Death God. Totally different elements. The way it was introduced is dropping a few lines at the last chapter of Fire Force. It feels like a cheap way to make more money. I think it boils down to how well the universe is built. If it's poorly written, it's bad.
The money thing is really it, isn't it? I mean, we all talk about fun and creative license and expanding a story. But at the heart of it, a lot of this, the reason why any studio or company chooses to greenlight any of these expansions is because they see potential to make money, to capitalize on a product that's already made money. And they're like, oh, there's an audience that's going to watch this, even if only to say it's terrible.
Which, going back to the Kevin Feige thing, I guess it's fine if you have a Kevin Feige who cares. But if you don't, then it's just about the money. And I think people can, like us, like watching it, we can smell that from like a mile away.
Chiral says, I think for a shared universe to work better, it also needs the original actors or actresses to play back the same characters.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, this is this reminds me of Matrix Resurrections.
I was thinking of Days of Future Past and how trippy it was.
Oh, that's
was.
A good example.
Yeah, yeah. Because it can work. It can work really well. But then again, talk to me about recasting Hugh Jackman as Wolverine and I'm going to burn the place down.
Well, my okay, other
that
thing...
That took a turn, but yes.
Yeah, yeah. That got sudden real fast. But the other thing I was going to say is, but how much CG is going to be involved in the de-aging? So it depends, right? I broadly agree that you want to see iconic actors playing iconic characters, but are they allowed to age? Like, are they allowed to be different? Or are we expecting them to look exactly the same? And if they do, like, you know, Henry Cavill's mustache, like, it will forever haunt me. Yeah, it's not there, but it's there. You know what I mean? It's there.
Also, who gets to decide which actor? I mean, do we want Jared Leto replaying Joker? You know, like, who gets to decide these things?
No, I mean, then you can cast someone else. I don't think anyone's like, you know, having like pitchforks outside waiting for Jared Leto to come back.
Yeah, one would hope. We have Jesper making a number of points, but particularly about television, which we'll get to. So Jesper says, I love the shared universe of Marvel comic movies like The Avengers and Justice League from DC, the Disney princesses in Ralph Breaks the Internet and the other Wreck-It Ralphs. Hoping a movie featuring all the Disney princesses will be done. The House of Mouse series was great, so was Space Jam. But my favorite of the lot has to be Who Framed Roger Rabbit, with Disney and Warner characters, Mickey Mouse, Bugs, Popeye, Donald Duck, Daffy Duck, Tweety, Sylvester, Betty Boop, Snow White, and many others, followed by Yogi Bear and Friends, as well as Cartoon All-Stars to the Rescue. And now we come to the classic TV, because Jesper goes on to say, I love Charlie's Angels on the Love Boat and Murder, She Wrote crossover with Magnum P.I., Ally McBeal and The Practice, which is a good one, Knight Rider and Different Strokes, Mama's Family and The Love Boat.
Ally McBeal and The Practice was the one I was trying to remember. I did not know Charlie's Angels and Love Boat had a crossover.
See, now it's a shared universe.
Now here we go. Ally McBeal and The Practice is a good one. I also don't know if y'all remember that there was an attempt to get a Dwight universe in The Office. Remember they were trying to get a whole thing done about the farm and all that. I suppose it's just a spin-off, but it felt universe building.
Wait, doesn't The Office exist in The Office shared universe with the Ricky Gervais office? Like, didn't he show
since
up at
he,
one time?
Since he met, yeah. So Steve Carell and Ricky Gervais met on the elevator. So that universe does exist, just in Britain and the US.
Ooh.
I'm glad that they didn't do one with Parks and Rec, though. Even though it's the same folks involved, a lot of it is there. I don't think that would have made a lot of sense. We have Lok, who says Dune, that's in caps, and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Are those shared universes? I mean,
maybe examples of standalones.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
That makes more sense. And yes,
I was
absolutely.
So confused.
Well, you know why? The spice connection between Dune and Star Wars. I thought, wait, did I miss something?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Do we want to see Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles with, say, like a Spidey? Is that too much? Is that too many creatures? Is that too many different things?
Well, I mean, I've seen the animated Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles with Batman, and that worked so well.
So I think you can do things in animation that would be really cool that don't necessarily work in real life. I've never liked any of the live-action Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles films. They always creeped me out.
They don't look right. I am thinking of like a TMNT Sonic. I don't know. I'm thinking of the creatures now, but they are different size. Anyway, they're different sizes, I think. Shamil says, is the One Chicago series, Med Fire, other Dick Wolf series considered shared universes? I think yes. Are spin-offs of TV series comparable to the concept of the shared universe of Marvel in terms of one universe, but multiple stories from said universe?
I think so. I mean, if you think of Cheers and Frasier, for instance, I mean, they are mm-hmm. like parallel storylines that exist in the same universe. And I kind of love it. There are some TV spin-offs that are even better than the originals.
As long as they stick to not casting the same person in multiple roles, then it checks out, right?
Vivigan says, one for us 90s kids, Jimmy Neutron and the Fairly Odd Parents.
Oh, yep.
Mm-hmm. I didn't even remember that. That's a good one.
That is a good one. Also, I haven't thought about Jimmy Neutron in a really long time. Yeah. I think we have one that is coming in from Su Yang, who says, the subtle Tarantino product placements in his films are Red Apple Cigarettes, Big Kahuna Burgers, and some characters like the Vega Brothers, which we did talk about. And yeah, nice to hear that others are enjoying it too.
Big Kahuna Burgers. That's the one I was trying to remember. I think we've arrived at the point where I can now say that I don't think I've decided yet what I like. I think what I don't like is when I feel like I'm being played.
What kind of announcement is that?
I've come
to the point where I've decided I haven't decided.
I know, right? This is me and my mixed love for the shared universe thing. I feel like what I dislike the most is when I feel like I'm being played by the studio. And that's the thing that annoys me.
The mention of TV shows, though, wasn't there something about Breaking Bad being connected to other shows because of the same props that they used to use? I think it was either Mad Men or something along those lines. But I know Breaking Bad exists in a quote-unquote shared universe without officially belonging in a shared universe.
Isn't that just AMC being cheap?
Like using the same sets and props.
Saving money, yeah.
And like,
The Walking Dead, yep, that was it, AMC.
I don't know why I'm a fount of office trivia, but you know that scene where Jim and Pam find out they're pregnant? That's the Scrubs hospital. So, yeah, I wouldn't argue with the shared universe. I think it's just NBC going, you know what? We've got a hospital set. Use it. So, yes, there is that. Keep those thoughts coming. We'd like to hear from you. Basically, are you team shared universe versus team standalone? You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. Write to us at movies@bfm.my. So, Sharmila, your big announcement is that you are the same as when we started?
Yes, it is very much. It is very much so.
All right. Arvind?
Same. I still love shared universes. I'll always like support any kind of connective tissue between different movies.
I've moved a little bit. So I've decided that if it is cheesy, fun, and OTT and done for me being the fan, not me personally, but done for me and not for the studio, then I'm fine with it. If you're going to insist that I have to watch 16 movies to understand this, then maybe not so much. So that's where I'm at. Let us know your thoughts. Again, you can write us, of course, movies@bfm.my. Keep those WhatsApps and tweets coming. You've been listening to Popcorn Culture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.